Thank you, Brother Frank and the musicians this morning. And we want to welcome each one of you this morning here, the regulars, and especially those who are visiting with us this morning. We want to give you a hearty welcome. And I see that our sister Cecilia and her husband, who attend West Grove, her parents are visiting here from the Philippines. So I see that they are here. Thank you for coming. Good to have you. And all of you who are visiting this morning. If you ask the average person on the street what is the most important issues of life, you might get a different answer from different people. Some people might say it's the nuclear war or issues. Some are way up on environmental crisis. Some are obsessed with the economic dislocation. Some are think that the political upheaval in countries. And then there is personal self-worth and dignity. Then there is the human rights and Charter of Rights and Freedom. It's very much prevalent in our day, and the government. And you know that in the courts of our land also are granting the rights of people. But the question is, are they the right things that they are granting? Certainly not according to the precious word of God this morning. I think the most important issue that facing humanity is the salvation of his or her soul. And that's why we are here this morning. So our passage this morning is from the letter to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as you notice in your bulletin, it says there verses 12 to 20. I've asked Bethany if she can put that one on the screen. You can see. So, okay, there we go. Thank you so much. Let's read it together this morning so we know what we are dealing with this morning. The Apostle Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And verse 15, this is our key verse this morning. Here is the King James says, this is, or here is a trustworthy saying and deserve full acceptance, or the King James says, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then the Apostle Paul says, of whom I am the chief or the worst. Verse 16, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Verse 17, and this is more like the benediction that is the Apostle Paul says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Maybe we'll stop there, and the rest of them, those of you who have a Bible, you could look it up, the other three verses. So, shall we pray before we go any further? Look to the Lord for his blessing. Father, we thank thee this morning for thy precious word and thy beloved Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, indeed, it is our privilege to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we gather together here this morning to honor him, may thy Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts this morning, that we might see the glimpses of truth from thy precious word and apply it to our lives this morning. For we ask it in the worthy and precious name for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is the big idea behind a sermon, you might ask? Sermons are communication tool that enable the hearers to understand the context, the content of the context. So Christianity is the faith that filled with the scripture content what God wants to communicate to people. It is not merely historical facts what happened before, but the important thing is but how God of the universe wants to be engaged in the lives of people now. And that is why it is important. So that's the reason you see there is a sign behind here. It says here, we preach Christ crucified and risen and coming again. The great speaker of speakers, the great Charles Spurgeon said, any sermon doesn't have Christ in it. It is just like a loaf of bread without any flour. In other words, there is no substance. And that is why it is important, the message this morning. And as you know, Timothy is a book written for the pastor and the people of the local church to combat false teachings. And we have lots of them around us, false doctrines, fall and disorder in the church, and false worship. But the Apostle Paul is encouraging young Timothy, despite all the problems that they had in the church, he says, look at me, what happened to me is as a trophy and an encouragement to the young pastor. First of all, those of you who are taking notes, there are seven things, the passage that we read this morning. Number one, it is the secrets of Paul's power. Number two, the sadness of Paul's past. Number three, the source of Paul's pardon. Number four, the sense of God's purpose. Number five, the sounds of Paul's praise. Number six, the strength of Paul's proclamation. And finally, he explains the last few verses. He says there, the surrender of Paul's fears in verse 19 and verse 20. He explains to Timothy that it was the grace of the Lord Jesus was the source of his pardon. Here we have at least, we find the five W's of grace. And here they are. Well, first of all, you find the worth of God's grace, the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we find the who of grace, verse 15 and B. Number three, the where of grace. And four, the why of grace in 15D. And then in 15E, the worth, the work of grace. If you go to an evangelism class, you are asked to write three things. Number one, your life before conversion. And number two, how you were converted. Number three, your life since conversion. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to explain and to young Timothy in these verses. Today's message, as you notice in the bulletin, is titled, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When we say he came, in other words, when people, you know, we say usually somebody came to my house, that means they came from some other place. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, when Jesus came, he was at another place before he came. So who is this Jesus that came as a babe in Bethlehem? You see, that's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. Because all the other religions of the world have their leaders, or what they call it, their prophets. But they were all born of human beings here, just like you and me. And they made them prophets or leaders. That's only human beings. But the scripture reminds us this morning, the Lord Jesus came from heaven. And as you know, there's a familiar verses in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So in other words, he was in the beginning with God, and he was God. and so became human being. Why the reasons I'll give you a few of them a little later, why he came. So we're going to look at least three important factors from this passage that we read. First of all, the incomparable person of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we're going to look at the incomparable purpose of the Lord Jesus, why he came. And thirdly, we're going to look at the incomparable position of the Lord Jesus he occupies. And the key to this passage was 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. In verse 15, the Apostle Paul explained to us at least seven things. Just that in that one verse. Notice, he says in verse 15, there is the proclamation. This is trustworthy saying. Or, this is true, what he is saying. And not only the proclamation, but there is a plea. He says, this is worthy of all acceptation. In other words, this deserves full acceptance from humanity, you and me. Third, he says, the person. Why it is worthy and trustworthy and acceptable? Because of the person who came. And who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the place that he came. Where did he come to? Jesus came into the world. John also reminds us this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is why the Lord Jesus came to the place, into the world. And the purpose, came into the world to save. Who are these people that he came to save? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that includes you and me and everyone else in the world. And the Apostle Paul finally says, number 7, he says, he's stating his position. He says, whom I am chief. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling that I was the worst of all sinners because I was against the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life, and I was a persecutor and a blasphemer because he didn't want to believe in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the story. Let's look at the first point we're going to look at. The incomparable person, Christ Jesus. If we look at the names and titles of the Lord Jesus in the scriptures, you will find at least 667 or more in the scriptures. But there are few that we are very familiar with. This, as a matter of fact, there is about 109 of them that everyday use. And I would just briefly mention, I think it is important, I'll mention them alphabetically. He is the Adam. He is the Advocate. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen. He is the Apostle of our profession. He is the Arm of the Lord. He is the Author and Finisher of our faith. He is the Author of eternal salvation. B. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the Beloved Son. He is the Blessed and Only Potentate. He is the Branch. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Captain of our salvation. He is the Chief Shepherd. He is the Christ of God. He is the Consolation. He is the Cornerstone. He is Counselor. He is Creator. He is the Dayspring. He is the Deliverer. He is the Desire of all nations. He is the Door. He is the Elect of God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is Faithful Witness. He is First and the Last. He is the Forerunner. He is the Glory of the Lord. He is God Blessed. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Governor. He is the Great High Priest. He is Head of the Church. He is Heir of all things. He is the Holy Child. He is the Holy One. He is the Holy One of Israel, the Horn of Salvation. I am, he said. He is the image of God. He is Emmanuel. He is Jehovah. He is Jesus. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Judge of Israel. He is the Just One. He is the King. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the saints. He is the Lawgiver. He was the Lamb of God. He is the Leader. He is Life. because he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. He is the light of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of glory. He is the Lord of lords and Lord of righteousness. He is the man of sorrows. He is the mediator. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is the Messiah. He is the mighty God. He is the morning star. He is the Nazarene, the only begotten Son, our Passover. He is the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prophet. He is the Redeemer. He is the Resurrection and Life. He is the Rock. He is the Root of David. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Savior. He is the Seed of the Woman. He is the Shepherd. He is the Bishop of our souls. He is Shiloh. He is the Son of the Blessed, Son of God, Son of the Highest. He is the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness. He is the True Light, the True Wine. He is the Truth. He is the Witness, the True Witness. He is the Word. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What a person. Where do you find another lead in the world with all these titles? And there is more in the scriptures if you want to look it up. Because he is all of the above and more, the scriptures reiterate that it is trustworthy and acceptable to proclaim the fact that Christ Jesus came, and when he came, he was born contrary to the laws of nature. And think about this morning. Put your thinking caps on. I want you to compare this person that who came, all the other leaders in the world, all the other religions who were proclaimed. See, he was born contrary to nature. He lived in poverty. He reared in obscurity. He had no influence. He had no training, no education of the world's schools. Yet he puzzled the doctors. He ruled the course of nature. He walked on water. He healed multitudes without any medicine. And he charged no fees. There was never no invoices sent to anybody's house for his healing. He never wrote a book. And yet all the books in the world, the libraries, he cannot surpass the books about him. He not only healed the bodies, but he mended the broken hearts. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. This is a quote from the book of Isaiah. When the Lord Jesus went into the temple, he was given the book of Isaiah and he read from there, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to whom? To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's the reason that the Lord Jesus came. Secondly, the incomparable purpose of the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners. He came because he wanted to, not because he was forced to. The writer to the Hebrews says in the volume of the book, "It is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God." He chose to come. Not he was required to, but he desired to come. Not he was commanded to come. So, why we need a Savior to come? Because the scripture reminds us this morning, you and me, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse you find in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And we also can turn to many other scriptures this morning, but for time's sake we won't. Romans also reminds us that there is none righteous. In a world where there is false advertising, fraud business practices, and empty promises, Christ offers love, joy, and peace and satisfaction to those who put their trust and faith in him. The Apostle Paul says, "It is true and trustworthy that Jesus came into the world to rescue humanity." You can take that to the bank. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. It is true and it is absolutely trustworthy. That's what he is saying. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have not sinned, But you know, later on the Apostle John goes on to say that if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 and 9. You know, it's interesting, in Luke's gospel, our Lord Jesus in his early ministry saw Levi, that was Matthew, and that means is a gift of Jehovah. He was a tax collector. In Hebrew they call it Marcus, and said to him, follow me. We think our tax system is bad, but in Jesus' days there was import and export tax, there was general tax, there was road tax, there was poll tax, there was bridge tax, there was property tax, letter tax and package tax, market tax, axle tax on carts and wheels. Sounds familiar? Today we're getting that way, aren't we? Lots of taxes. But you see, in those days they were able to collect more than the people owed them. That's why, remember Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector, and the Lord Jesus called him, and he went into his house, and he was converted from his sins. And you know what Zacchaeus says? I will give back everything that I collected, more than what I'm supposed to, but 4 times more I'll give it back. So the taxpayers and sinners were the taxpayers were looked at as more like as scums in even in Jesus' days. And Matthew gave Jesus a big reception in his house. There was a great crowd of tax collectors and publicans there. So the Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling and asking him, the Lord Jesus, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And his answer was, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you read the book of Isaiah chapter 1, you will see who are the sick people. And we don't have time to go into, when you have a little time, go and read it. And we'll find, as the scripture explains to us, we were all dead in sin and trespasses, as the Apostle Paul explains in the book of Ephesians. In that one sentence, Jesus tells us why there was an incarnation, why he was virgin born, why he lived, why he died, why he rose again and ascended to heaven, and why he intercedes. The whole glorious scheme of salvation is summed up in that statement. He came to save sinners who repent of their sins and accept him as their personal savior and Lord. And he went on to give the exposition of that passage from Luke's gospel chapter 4, and he said, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The Messiah has come to bring salvation to the people who were classified as poor, prisoners, blind and oppressed. You see, Jesus centered his ministry on people who understood their true condition, people who didn't live with any illusions, the social outcasts, people who had deformity, people had paralysis, leprosy, or any other social stigma attached to them. He truly was the friend of sinners and tax collectors, wasn't he? Luke chapter 15, and he gives the Pharisees and the scribes accuse him of the same thing. This man eateth with sinners and publicans. But you see, we also see in Luke's gospel chapter, you remember the paralytic man, they brought him in, and before the Lord Jesus heals him, what did he do? He forgives his sin before he heals him. You know, if you go through the Gospels, you notice that the Lord Jesus never told any of his disciples or his followers, if you can kind of clean up your act and you have some talents, maybe I could use you. He never told anybody that. He called a fisherman and say, come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You know, in John's Gospel chapter 2, maybe we could turn to that and see what he says, because Jesus knew what was in man. John chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. Yeah, it says 24, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men and what was in their heart. This was, he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. Here is the Lord Jesus. So he simply asked them to follow him. And you know, the interesting thing is, whoever he called to come after him, all his disciples left everything, and what did they do? They followed him, and they saw him differently than anyone else. And he also reminded them, or told them, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will never be in my kingdom. You read that in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. So the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 to 10, he tells how the Lord will go to, how low the Lord will go to save sinners, who is willing to forgive the rebellious, the lawless, the ungodly, the sinners, the profane, the parent murderers, the immoral men, the homosexuals, the kidnappers, the perjurers, and the list goes on. And he says there, anything that is contrary to sound teaching. And brothers and sisters and dear friends, this morning, that's why the Lord Jesus is the savior of sinners. No other leader in any of the other religions can say that or boast that. And that is why he came. That's what he could proclaim and say, I am the way. No man come unto the Father except through me, but by me. He also tells in 1 Timothy chapter 1, as the passage as we read, that he is the worst sinners of all. But he says, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy from God. Mercy is something that God withhold from each one of us what we deserve. But he also says that it is only by the grace of the Lord Jesus that he entrusted me this ministry, and I was turned around, my life was turned around. And the grace is what the Lord bestows upon you and me, what we don't deserve. And that is the grace of the Lord Jesus. And you heard the sayings, GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what you and I have if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved him from that wretched condition and given him grace to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. What a transformation. What a miracle that any wretched sinner can be saved and changed by the grace of God. That is the nature of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. There was a TV reporter a little while ago, went into the streets and asked the passers-by and say, do you believe in miracle? And many of them said, yes. And here is this one man, he went to the reporter and he said, I certainly do, because I am one. Because he said, I was a drug dealer, I was an alcoholic, I was an abuser, and you name it, I had it. But he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me. And it is the greatest miracle that you can see. I am a walking miracle, that he said. Paul is making two great statements here. He's saying, if God can save a person like Paul, he can save anybody. Who in their right mind at the time of the Apostle Paul, because he, remember, he was the antagonistic Saul, who would ever thought that he will turn 180 degree around and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And secondly, what he is saying is, the way God saved Paul is a pattern that reveals how others had to be saved by conviction of sins and faith in the crucified and risen Christ. Remember what happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus road, and he was blinded and the noon bright sun, and he was asking the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And because of the what happened to that revelation on the Damascus road, here is the antagonistic Saul became the Apostle Paul. And we don't have time to go into all the details. We can take another time. But my brothers and sisters, this morning, that is why he saved you and me, those who are believers, and to tell others and set out to be the trophies of his grace and a living testimony to his life-changing power. And that is why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. By grace are you saved. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, that any man should boast." So, if you are saved this morning here, and as a believer, let us live out that testimony in a life of service and glory and praise. And if you are not a believer here this morning, then the Spirit of God urges you this morning to come to the Savior and surrender to your life to Him and be saved today, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. None of you can guarantee like you're going to be here tomorrow. That's life reality, isn't it? So, but the scripture reminds us this morning, today, now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Quickly, let's look at chapter 1 and verse 15. So, here is something that I want you to look at. It says there, we see the credibility of the gospel. It says there, this is a faithful saying, okay, that is of salvation. 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John reminds us, herein is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that's what the Apostle Paul mentioned, quite a few things of trustworthy and faithful saying. Here is the one of for salvation. And chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, he talk about trustworthy saying of suffering. And then 2 Timothy is talking about faithful saying of retribution, chapter 2 and verse 11. And in Titus, he's also saying it's a faithful saying of the testimony. So first of all, we see the credibility of the gospel. Secondly, we see the claims of the gospel. This is worthy of all, or trustworthy of all acceptation. Then we see the content of the gospel. What do we see? We see the record of his coming. He came into the world. And we also see the reason for his coming, to save sinners, to give us eternal life, to ransom mankind, destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse reminds us that. You know, there are many people who wrote, as you know, there is a pastor in Minneapolis, Bethlehem Baptist Church. He gave 51 reasons that Christ Jesus came, why he came. Here is some of them. He says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to call sinners to repentance. And he came to the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to the came into the world to demonstrate the purpose, true purpose of God and life, and give himself as a ransom for each one of us. And he came in as the great king who bear the witness. And you know, in most of all, the best thing is the Lord Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father, because the Father sent him. And that's what John's Gospel chapter 3 reminds us. Many other passages say he also came into the world as a light to be in the world. John's Gospel chapter 10, he tells us, I have come that they might have life and more abundantly. So there are a lot of reasons we can find in scriptures that why the Lord Jesus came. Quickly, I just want to remind you this morning, the gospel is literally good news. That's what it means. While creation is lost, bearing the marks and scars of sin, separated from a perfect and glorious God, he has acted to redeem all people and all things to himself through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. The good news is that the long-awaited Messiah and Savior has finally arrived and paid your ransom and my ransom by dying on the cross to remove the penalty of your sins. Not only the penalty of sin, the punishment of your sin, but also the power of sin or the pollution of sin. And someday you and I are going to be eternally delivered from the presence of sin. Praise God this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. In a world filled with negative press, shocking headlines, desperate confusion, here is something, some good news. He not only saves us but adopts us into his family. Transfer yours and my citizenship to his own kingdom and invite us to live and reign alongside with him all eternity. How do you like that? Isn't that good news? That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The gospel is not political in nature, it is personal. That's the one good thing about it, you know. We don't have to be involved with religion or politics. It is not religious, it is relational. And that is what is make it so beautiful. There is a personal relationship with the creator of the universe and the redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes everything. It transcends time and culture and transforms us at every level. Every area of our life, it is bearing fruit everywhere. It only makes us right with God, but also makes us live differently in an ungodly world. Isn't that good? When you look around all the things that are going on in the world today, you just wonder, what in the world is going on here? But here is good news. We don't have to. We can be changed by the grace of God. The gospel not only makes us right with God, but also makes us live differently. The truth and grace of God gives us new ethical and moral foundation, but more importantly, a new heart. A new heart, because it changed. So, this morning, I want you to take four things home this morning from this passage. Christian gospel comes from God. Okay? It's not from man. It's not a result of a polling data or a worker of a committee. And second, conversion is a pure miracle that depends on God alone. All glory belongs to him. Praise his name this morning. You and I don't have to put in any effort for the salvation of your soul and mine. Number three, the worst sinners often make the best saints. You know why? God goes into the enemy camp and recruit the meanest, the toughest, the roughest, and the wildest sinners. And you know, he sanctified them. And you know what God does? Miraculously, he sent them back to the enemy camp to proclaim the good news. Isn't that good? The Apostle Paul, look at him. He was against everything what the Lord Jesus Christ was, and he was an enemy, he was a blasphemer, he was an contrary to whatever. But look at when the Lord met him on Damascus Road, he changed man. He became the Apostle Paul. And look at all the things that he suffered because of that. So God saves sinners by his grace. That is a miracle in itself. And you know, the fourth thing I want you to remember this morning is no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. Who in their right mind, you know, like you are thinking, oh, I'm gone beyond anything. God cannot do anything for, that's not true. It doesn't matter what your life is consist of. No matter what your sins are, God says, come to me, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So this morning, I just want to conclude with the benediction that the Apostle Paul says, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, all wise God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. So this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, what a tremendous life I can have. And if you are not a believer, you have not trusted the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul, it is the most important issue facing your life. And the Spirit of God this morning urges you to come to the Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus. And that's what the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus and raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All who those call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just want to encourage you this morning, what a glorious message that we have, and trust that we can be encouraged and live for his glory. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank thee this morning for the precious word of God this morning, and also the precious Savior this morning. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Father, we thank thee that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And Father, this morning we thank thee for all the blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus. If anyone here this morning does not know the grace of the Lord Jesus and not accepted him as their personal Savior, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might work in their hearts this morning, that they might be convicted of their sins accept him as their Savior and Lord this morning. Father, we ask thy blessing upon each one who are present here this morning. Disperse us with thy blessing. We commend ourselves to thee, the word of thy grace, and to the mercy of God this morning, asking thy richest blessing upon each one, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.